welcome to the F1 show, the show from the British Tech Network that deals with the Formula One Grand Prix circuit tour thing that goes around the planet. There we go. This week it was China, and I'm here with a fantastic panel to discuss the Chinese Grand Prix and the ins and outs of it all. Joining me, I have no idea what order they're coming up in. Because I'm in a hotel and Joe's doing all the switching. So joining me is the next person. Hello. Steve Neighbour. What a surprise.
Is Jack in the box. Formula One?
Yeah, you're here for Mac.
That's a general idea.
Well, I've got all my notes prepared about the horse race. I've got all my betting slips that didn't come through. That was my big race this weekend.
The Grand Slaughtering National.
Wrong type of car, mate.
There is a few cars have died this weekend.
I was going to talk about what would happen if the drivers had to be taken out and put down because they failed at the first or the second or the third. I think Schumacher would be putting down one of his pit crew, wouldn't he?
I'd shoot Kimi Räikkönen for a start.
Take the gun to whoever was on the back left tyre or which one ever it was. That'd be entertaining. Yeah. Hello.
Hello, mate. Have a good week.
Yeah, not too bad at all.
Did you enjoy the Grand Prix? Did you enjoy the Grand Prix?
Very much so. It was brilliant. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Really. BBC showed it, so I saw the whole thing. I loved the whole overtaking, which we'll get into. But yeah, great.
Fantastic circuit. Lovely. We should get into that in a second, in a minute, yes. Next to him is...
Who's it going to be?
Tone. Hello, mate.
Hello. I was as shocked as you were there.
I'm presuming I could probably choose who was next, but it's more fun waiting for Joe to decide. How you doing, Tone?
All right.
You couldn't make it last night, so the fact that we couldn't record it is somewhat profound. So we are also hoping to have Chris here. But we've sent him a couple of messages, but we're going to nickname him 5 down and 1 up from now on and change his lower third to say it because he's got a new internet service, which I don't think he's overly impressed with. But Tone is in from Nottingham discussing all things. Did you enjoy the Grand Prix this weekend, mate?
Absolutely. I thought it was a brilliant race, and we'll get into why later.
Yeah, we shall see. And last but by no means least, Mrs. Sarah Gray in Ireland. On the sofa.
Yes, I am.
With alcohol.
On the sofa, and I'm in Bantry in Ireland, and the weather's god-awful, but other than that, it's great, thank you.
Like I said to you before we started, it's called the Emerald Isle for a reason.
Yeah, I know.
Have you been drinking Guinness all day, Sarah?
I was in the air when the race was actually on, so I couldn't watch it live, but my mum and dad kindly recorded it for me live, and we finally watched it on Sunday evening, and I have to say, it was a fantastic race.
Yes. Did you manage to stay away from the result?
I did until about 5 minutes before we started because I was doing my notes and updating the quali, and I stupidly, because I always put the Wikipedia page for the Grand Prix in my notes at the top, and I hadn't put it in, so I went to put it in, typed in Chinese Grand Prix in Google, and of course up came the result. So five minutes before the start, I actually found out what happened.
The only thing we don't know there is whether you're answering the question about whether you saw the result or whether you were drinking Guinness up to 5 minutes before the start.
I don't think she has to answer the question. The evidence is where.
I'd had a couple.
You asked one question, she answers another one. She has been drinking.
I'd had a couple of glasses of wine up to that point, but not the black and white stuff. I'm not a great fan of it, so it's a bit of a shame, really.
Oh, yeah. What's he saying? All right, so Chris, did everyone else hear that, or was that just me? Was that the voices in my head? No, apparently Chris is asking what line to dial in on, so we'll have to do a welcome to Chris in a minute.
27.
The Chinese Grand Prix, then. Overall, are we saying thumbs up?
Absolutely.
I'm saying yes. They started it with the rope. They were having a right problem with that rope getting in the right place.
What are you on about?
All the cars were going and bolting before the rope was secure. There was about 4 or 5 false starts.
You've lost me there, mate.
I think there's something to do with another type of race he's talking about.
And that terrible swimmer, that was...
Steve, swap your notes over, for God's sake. You'll have me all night with that. No, I mean, I think China is a really interesting laid-out circuit. It looks really, really nice when you see a top-down image from the sky. And the twists and turns. I read an article today that was written by Brundle, and he was saying that, you know, the way that it's laid out, that very big first turn in, and then it gets tighter and tighter and tighter, and then opens out, and then gets tighter and tighter and tighter again, and then the hairpin just before the back straight makes it for very good opportunities for errors. So drivers are going into that, and if they miss, you know, if they're trying to defend a position, they can very quickly get themselves out of the correct position as they come out of that long turn, as it narrows very quickly. And I've got to say, I agree. I thought there was an awful lot of really good stuff going on in the Grand Prix.
There was. I mean, it was. I think about halfway through, I was getting a bit bored, but it was really the last third where there was all that racing going on behind Nico Rosberg.
Positions 2 to 8 were. Well, inseparable, weren't they, for 80% of the race?
Yeah, all behind Massa, largely, wasn't it, for quite a while?
There's a thought. You know your crap if you're behind Massa.
It was a while before he decided to pit, yes.
Yeah, and also then Raikkonen late before his tyres went off.
Oh, that was brilliant. He was obviously really going for it to see if he could get away with it, and blew it big time. He lost, we lost 12 places, didn't they?
Yeah, I didn't realise it was that many. I thought he was still in the top 10, and then he had to pit and lost more for that.
He went from second to 14th, I think.
14th.
So the question I've got is, what the hell is going on with the tyres? Because the tyres just don't seem to have any... I mean, Rosberg was running hards and running faster than everyone else. On a track that everyone predicted, and the layman, me as well, would have predicted would have been a soft tyre. It was dry, it was warm, it would have fitted a soft tyre perfectly, no?
It was interesting, though. Somebody went up, somebody's tyres went off, didn't they? Is it Maldonado? Somebody's tyres, he was in fourth position in that big chain through the middle of the race, and his tyres just hit the wall, and you could see everyone literally just driving around him. I can't remember who it was. Apologies, but
obviously that happened to Raikkonen, as we said. But
The thing is, it was like, it wasn't just hard and soft. It was almost like each manufacturer had got a completely different set of tyres from everyone else. Hello, Christopher. Is he in?
Not yet. Doesn't look.
Not yet. No, it just seemed like all of the manufacturers have got completely different sets of tyres themselves. You know, to a certain degree, maybe even Schumacher and Rosberg felt like they were running completely different types of tyre in the same band. One's running hard, one's running soft. The soft is going faster than one hard is going faster than the other soft. And there just didn't seem to be any kind of consistency in what was happening, no?
I mean, that was a prediction made, I think it was by someone from Autosport. They actually tweeted out a prediction that while Mercedes had the front row, the tyres would really go off in the race, and that just didn't happen, did it? You know, they actually kept them together.
And two-stop strategy.
I mean, to be fair, that's what I would have expected. You know, I would have thought they were going to be right about that, and very, very happy to be wrong on that one, but...
I mean, has anyone else read anything about the tyres and why there is such a variance at the moment? Because it dumbfounded me. There was no single fact or no single issue that you could say was a consistent through the performance of any of the tyres for any of the teams.
I did see a tweet from Martin Brundle today talking about the Pirelli tyres and saying how it's shaking things up a bit. But I haven't actually seen it specifically other than that.
I read an article this morning. I've got to say, one of my new favourite apps. I used to sit down to breakfast when I was in the hotel, Wi-Fi app, and I used to sit and read the BBC application for news. And I've downloaded the iPad application for Sky News and for Sky Sports. And because I'm already registered with Sky Go, I log in and I get everything through. And the F1 coverage on there is brilliant. Absolutely excellent. You get loads of little stories that are in there. Brundle's piece in there was on it. He was saying about the tyre issue, and he was talking about the layout of the circuit and that kind of thing. It was a really, really nicely laid out application. And there was also a very interesting...
Is that app for Sky customers only, or is it?
It's an app for iPad. It's for iPad, and you have to sign into it, and you have to sign in with your Sky Go account.
Okay.
So. I have arrived.
Hello, Christopher. Hello.
I've been here for quite some time, actually.
Yes, it's just you're actually talking 10 minutes behind us because of your new broadband.
Hi, Ewan. How you? Yeah. No, yeah, yes, no, it's I've had some trouble, yeah.
Yes, Wednesday.
Well, thank you. I do look lovely, I know.
I can count the lines on your video, Chris.
It's not all smooth, then.
I'm only teasing. I mean,
you seem all right, mate.
It's not great, is it? Hang on.
I thought you'd actually lost it. Chris, you must have a theory on the tyres. Come on. We've been talking about the tyres. There didn't seem consistency. Give us a pearl of wisdom.
They're not rubber. They're synthetic. That's Christopher's pearl of wisdom. The tyres are very strange. I think they're trying too hard with the tyres. I'm trying too hard. Because they're being pushed to by Bernie. Because he wants to make it more exciting for people to watch. So they're bringing tyres that are... I thought they were too durable to this race.
Yeah, it was a problem they had last year with them being too durable. I mean, there was one race last year where a Red Bull lasted most of a race on the same tyres, wasn't there?
As well, Red Bull were eating these tyres.
They've been trying to mix it up this year, but it's been more successful this year. But I also have to wonder whether any of those tyres used in the race were also scrubbed a bit in practice. That's just a thought that struck me.
Jamie tried to do that, didn't he?
Yeah.
See, I mean, Aaron in the chat room saying Webber was eating his tyres up. And he was. They were chewing him up really badly.
He was going in earlier.
Yeah. He was also using a different setup to Vettel.
He
pitted first of all on lap 7. He was the first one to do that.
Mm. Mm. But that was getting rid of the hard compound, though, that he qualified on, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the point is that he was pitting much earlier than everybody else, so he was out of sync. He was going through tyres like they're going out of fashion. I'm not sure.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris. Go ahead, Chris.
The RBRs are struggling because they haven't found sweet spot yet. So I've surmised that they're cranking in loads of rear downforce because both the cars seem to still be squirming around because they were using the blown diffuser and the exhaust to plant the back of the car last season. They've lost all that, which is what we saw with Vettel's backwards progress, quite literally and technologically, because he was using the old exhaust system. And Webber did better because he had the newer system. So they're getting there. Adrian Newey in the F1 show said that they were working on a system that was declared illegal by the FIA halfway through their development season. So they had to make it legal and then work from there. So they've been on the back foot whilst the other teams have gone ahead and Mercedes has, you know, run away with it at the moment with their system. They've just, the whole balance of the car was set up for a system which they couldn't further develop. So I think for the short term, they've just been cranking in the rear downforce and it's just destroying the tyres because they're driving the car like they were last year, but they can't do that anymore. My theory.
Yeah, I mean, Vettel was saying he had a lot of problem with downforce at the back, and he was saying as he was driving into the bends, the back was wanting to get away from him, so he was constantly having to correct for the slide before he could even apply power and then go out, which was losing him tenths of seconds in bends.
Yeah.
Whoa, hang on. Sorry, Sarah, go ahead first.
This is what happens when he decides that he doesn't want to listen to Adrian Newey anymore and he wants to... do it his own way.
You think the double world champion's got a taste of ego?
Oh, absolutely, at the moment.
Right.
But he hasn't got the car development skills like Schumacher had to back that up. And also, it's like I think that rear wing, it probably played a part in Webber's little moment where he sort of did it almost a wheelie, wasn't it, in his car? when he went off the track.
That's right, yeah, where he nearly upended it again.
Chris, yes. What were you going to say?
The School of Aeronautics. We saw that the cars were Vettel in particular was struggling with the rear downforce because we saw just how much correction he was having to make through all the corners, and there was that analysis which I thought was quite good. Ant Davidson on his jumbo iPad, some of the 5 hours of post race, it was incredible coverage in 5 hours. I was actually impressed for once. I'm a hard man to impress, and they slowed the video down, and you saw that he had no lock on at all at the apex of the final hairpin, and he's really struggling with pull out some fairly decent lap times, but he was just nowhere in terms of pace because of this problem. So it's going to be interesting to see which cars treat the tyres more nicely.
So I don't
know, the drivers that have come up from the previous leagues where they've had to tyre manage better, for example GP2, where they only get one set of tyres to last a race as they do in some of the rounds. I'm not fully familiar with GP2, but I watched the opening round and they have completely different set of rules. So I think the drivers that are going to come up from GP2 are going to be faring better with these tyres as they make the tyres drop off more quickly, because they will just be able to manage them.
Steve, did you make it?
It's Talk Over Tuesday today, by the way.
No, let's not defend Vettel. Let's not just say that, Vettel's car must be rubbish because he's not winning this year. I quite like the fact that he's not
number one
finger boy anymore. We can't just blame his car
to someone else now.
Hey, can you hear the others, all of them, Chris?
I can hear everyone, I think, when Joe turns everybody else up. I think Joe's playing silly bugs with me today.
You just talked over Steve while Steve was talking, so I didn't know if you could hear him or not.
I couldn't hear Steve at all, sorry.
No, that's your, that Skype is cutting you out, maybe, perhaps. Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that Vettel's not walking away with it. I find that quite refreshing and enjoyable, and the fact that we've had three winners in three races, and the only reason that Hamilton's top is because he's been the only consistent person there with three thirds.
That's right, yeah.
And he's managed to do it without a win as well.
Do you think he'd do it for the whole season? If we get Grosjean to win the next third.
If you look at, I think it was Webber's results, he's had a string of fourths, hasn't he, as well?
Yeah, but it's not as good as a string of thirds.
I saw a stat the other day. It's like, you know, there were two really consistent people and they were getting thirds and fourths in every race. So.
Well, Chris's last point leads us on to quite a nice discussion, I think, because this was the first head-to-head. So we've got full live coverage from BBC and full live coverage from Sky. So those of us that had a choice, who did we plump for?
Well, I was disappointed. I was hoping for a bit of a boxing match. I was hoping on the lap.
On the grid walk,
you mean?
Yeah, Brundle versus Jordan. What's he called?
DC.
Oh, Chinny bloke.
DC.
Yeah, Coulthard versus Brundle. Handbags at five paces, but they didn't meet up, did they?
They kind of had got to be careful between them, didn't they?
Yeah, they've got to be careful because they, don't forget, of course, they're going to be reunited next year, maybe.
Really? Why is that?
I mean, Crofty's got to go. And right. you'd rather have Brundle and DC doing the commentary every week than Crofty in there screaming his guts out.
Is Crofty on the Sky? Is he sorry?
Yeah. He used to be
on Five Live.
He can't be any worse than Ben Edwards on BBC.
No. I think
Ben Edwards, to be honest.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
It's divide and conquer, isn't it? Because they're both crap.
DC's correcting him. It's unbelievable.
Aaron in the chat room says Sky. Sorry, that was his choice. Super Chicken says no options. It, so he's stuffed with it anyway. He's got an Australian broadcaster. My choice, I have to say, I watched about 10 minutes of the coverage of the Q2 on BBC, and I had to leave. I couldn't stand it. I had to go to listen to Brundle. Far, far better analysis. And the one thing that was conspicuously absent in a lot of the coverage this weekend, Damon Hill. He didn't pop up an awful lot, did he?
I'm going to have a look on that Sky website. I bet he's disappeared completely off that picture now.
Well, there was a comment.
Back to the future.
He's been in the media in the week, though, hasn't he? Because he wrote the Telegraph. Bahrain for him.
He wrote the Telegraph about why there's a danger for the Bahrain thing. But he's been particularly absent from the Sky coverage, I think. Mm. Chris, have you made a choice?
Is that a bad thing, though? Is that a bad thing? Because Johnny Herbert, I think, is slightly more willing to talk
competent
with one prompt. Well, competent is a strong word. No, he's obviously he's an accomplished driver, so they've got him. I think it's a simple case of Damon was busy that weekend, so they got Johnny to do it instead.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Tone.
Did you see Brundle actually tweeted out after race to Johnny Herbert, please come back?
No, I didn't.
That said a lot, I thought.
Come back. I've got to get rid of Damon Hill. Yeah. I mean, Brundle, every time there's an interview, Brundle spends all his time after Damon Hill's spoken, effectively saying in inverted commas, now hang on, Damon, let's not talk complete crap, and corrects him. It does.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you either.
Damon's done his bit. He's not. I'm sorry, but he's a name on this show, but he doesn't inspire me. I have to say, I have very great respect for him as a racer. Loved when he won the World Championship. Loved him when he raced against Schumacher a lot. I thought he was a fantastic driver, but he's just not cut out to be a commentator. Oh, okay. Sorry, Tom. Dial back in, mate.
What's Georgie fun. Thompson like?
I don't
we know.
You, don't,
we know what you think about Georgie.
No, I definitely
don't,
mate.
Does she just do vocal skills? Or does she... Is she on the picture as well?
She's just too short in comparison to the bloke that she's next to the screen with.
What, and it's like they're with the height.
Yeah, they need her on a box. She probably is already on a box. She's just short,
isn't she?
Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but she doesn't add to the commentary. She's there for looks, and they're not that good.
Yes.
She was better in the F1 show. She's more of a general presenter. You can tell she's a fan. They're all fans. I thought the F1 show worked well because you've got Ted, who's super nerd, and then you've got Georgie balancing things out. And there was that nice feature with the women in F1 as well in last week's show. So it kind of worked. And then you've got...
I thought the lady in the pit lane, I can't remember her name now.
Natalie.
What is it? Natalie. Natalie's really good. She asks good questions. She grabs the driver. She gets what she wants, and then I thought she was excellent. It's not a sex thing. It's just like she's good, and Georgie's out of her depth a bit, especially when she stood next to the bloke who does the technical stuff, because it's just like way over her head. You could just imagine those two stood at a bar with him trying to impress her and her going,
You've seen the size of my seat there.
Natalie Pinkham, thank you.
Natalie, the first week, Natalie was struggling a little bit, I think, because she and Ted had never had in-vision roles before. So they just cut away to every so often on Five Live for little snippets here and there. But she's really getting used to the role of being a more fully fledged presenter. I really like her. Yeah, yeah. And you can tell she's into the sport anyway.
She's aggressive. She's polite, but she's aggressive. She gets in there, she gets what she needs. She gets good for it. She asks good questions and then gets out again and moves on. And I think that's really, really good. And Georgie doesn't. Yeah. But like you said, I haven't watched the F1 show, the forum show, so that might be a bit different.
I think with Natalie, it's like she could be as good as Lee McKenzie. You know, give her a bit of time to actually, you know, get more into the job.
Mm. Sarah and Steve, talk us through the BBC crew and the highs and the lows. DC's obviously a high, surely.
Yeah, he's fine. You know, no different from last year. I really do think that that Ben Edwards is a lightweight. He makes mistakes, and DC's picking him up from various things. And you know, the rest of them are okay. You know, it's really not much change from last year.
But do bear in mind that that's the channel that used Murray Walker for 30 years.
Yeah, I know, but we've moved on from that era.
I hope so. Go on, Steve. Go on, Steve.
Eddie Jordan is brilliant. I think he's really funny. I think he's really connected. He's got a lot of insider gossip. He's got a lot of connections. He pulls people into the interviews. I love watching it when he's on the screen. It's a shame they split the whole kind of
Sky and BBC up, because it was an amazing team they had last year, if you look at what who BBC had together last year. But I think DC's okay. He knows his stuff. I don't find the main commentator on the BBC annoying in any way. He's calmed down from the first few first few minutes of the first race. I think it's a reasonable team on the BBC. But we don't have nice punty pictures of women on the BBC page of their team. The Sky's got all nice pictures of what's she called? Old dwarfy woman. But there's nothing on the BBC Georgie. Website. It's just Bernie. Bernie's not the type of thing you want to look at.
Not over breakfast.
It's it could be as bad as Ledyard was, and we really don't want that, do we?
No, definitely not. Yeah. The race then, qualification, any highs and lows from qualification? I mean, got to be Vettel at 11th. That was a real surprise, surely.
A shocker, that was.
I was crying into my breakfast.
Not.
Really got felt it. Sorry yeah, for him.
I mean, there was half a second.
An iPhone card just to make him feel better.
And look at Chris in the start. Isn't that pretty?
Hang on, hang on. Where am I? Oh God!
There he is. There he
delays
is.
You're everywhere.
Excellent.
Get down a bit, Chris.
Which left? Your left? My left? Oh God!
Yeah, exactly. Skype screws it up, doesn't it? No, the other
way. Stand in the centre.
Chris
is stroking your head. That's it. Stroking your head.
Spot on.
Now Hamilton had a five grid position penalty for changing a gearbox. Now I'm going to show my backside here and ask a simple question. After each race, do they get to work on the gearbox, strip it down, rebuild it, and so on, or is it tagged and that's it? They can't touch it.
I think it's that they tagged it. They have a certain number of gearboxes and. That each one has to last a certain number of races, and that's it.
And the one he was coming into this weekend with had a crack in it, didn't it? Wasn't that the reason they changed it?
It was a bearing that was going. They analysed the oil and they could see that the bearing was going. So before the box failed and took the engine with it, they changed the gearbox and took the grid place penalty here, because they only normally are allowed to change a gearbox after five races. So they'll cycle, like the engines, they'll cycle the gearboxes around and use one for free practice and then one for quali and race. But they just had to change it. And it was the right decision in retrospect. I mean, Hamilton still did really well.
Yeah. I mean, they knew he had the speed to make up for a penalty like that. I think
they are on form, so I think it was one of those kind of
I just would have thought that if you've got a car, then in between something that's, I mean, this is high performance racing, there's an awful lot of wear and tear on it, you'd expect them to be able to strip it down and maintain it ready for the next race, not rebuild it from scratch and make a new one, but at least do some basic maintenance.
There are parts that they can do that with, but there are some that are extremely limited right down, and the gearbox is one of those.
This all stems from the regulations that came in for cost capping. And I'm glad in a way, because where do you draw the line between maintenance of, you know, there's no external parts in the gearbox, so what are you going to do, you know? Then people are going to go, well, it's bits that you can get to when you take the case off. And then they're going to make tools that they can fit in to take the inside bearings out and stuff. I mean, it's either a closed unit or you take the whole thing out and then you just get rid of part foam altogether. So,
I mean, as well as the cost cutting, it's also helping improving engines in terms of reliability for development that comes out of F1 into road cars and so on and so forth. And I think that's... there's more of a direct link now because of that reliability aspect, rather than, you know, one car, one race, one engine, one gearbox, one everything, which does absolutely nothing for moving that development into other forms of road
absolutely. And for better or for worse as well, as Mike Gascoigne said in the F1 show, it helps the smaller teams because they can afford to do this as they know they can reliably and... predictably forecast their own costs for buying parts, which is great, because this is why there were no small teams, because they just couldn't afford to buy 20 gearboxes because you had to put a new one in the car every engine because it wore itself out. So I like it.
Yeah, I mean, a good example of this is if you look at Sauber. I mean, they've had a couple of really good races and, you know, they're not one of the strongest teams, but I'm sure a lot of that's got to do with the fact that they're a level playing field with all the other teams.
Mm. And they struggled this Grand Prix, didn't they?
Well, Kobayashi did. They qualified.
Yeah.
and he had the fastest lap of the entire race.
But they didn't turn that into position, did they?
Sorry, Ewan?
I'm saying they didn't turn that into position, though, did they? They had qualifying at fourth. They had a very fast lap time during the race, but they got fast straight line speed, but they just couldn't, they weren't working the corners properly. And again, maybe the tyres came to kick into it, but they didn't turn that grid position into field position at the end.
Oh, I agree. But I think given what we're talking about, the fact that each of the teams can only use so many gearboxes and engines and so on and so forth, I don't think they'd be anywhere if the top teams like Ferrari, McLaren, Red Bull were using one engine, one gearbox, etc. for each race.
Mm. No, absolutely. Raikkonen, how's Raikkonen doing with his return? Is he upsetting any of you, or is he okay, or do you still love him?
I'm quite impressed. You know, it's early with days. Raikkonen. He's not been racing for a year or so. Other than rallying, it's a pretty good start, I think.
Mm. So up till his tyres lost it, because he may have slightly overdone it with that, but up until that he was actually doing well. Maybe it was just his choice to stay out longer than the tyres should have really allowed him. That's the only part that was really wrong with his race, as far as I could tell, because he was leading the train as well for a while.
No, what I'm talking about is the fact, nothing to do with his driving, I'm talking about the fact he's a stroppy twat. I mean, he has pulled a face at every opportunity when there's a camera anywhere nearby. Anyone's gone to try and have a decent interview with him, they get one word answers if they get anything at all. He just comes across as the one person you think, I'm sorry, but you're selling entertainment here, mate. You stop and you talk to the cameras, because these boys that are watching and girls are paying your bloody wages.
But the thing is, Ewan, he's always been like that. All the time since he's been in F1, he's always been the same.
That's a little bit strong. It's great. You want kind of Mr. Tweedledum walking down the pit lane, all happy and smiley.
Hey, can't have them all being totally friendly, can you? You know.
What you mean, like Michael Schumacher is these days? Sitting in the car, waving at the camera every time the camera's pointing at him. He would never have done that when he was at Ferrari, because he was completely serious. Now he's just having a jolly old time, isn't he?
Yeah.
Michael kisses puppies and babies.
I don't think.
Go
he
on, Chris. You've got a big smile on your face.
On the tyre. I think that mechanic on the tyre will be.
No, I think he's dead somewhere. He's got a piece of piano wire around his neck.
Did you not see?
Yeah, he'll be on Breach's book somewhere.
There was a little interview after with him on the BBC about that, and he actually said, "Oh no, I don't actually blame that guy, because he'd seen the video of, the light system, going wrong there." So he actually said, on TV, it's like, "Oh, I don't blame the guy. We'll go and put an arm around him, basically."
Yeah, Aaron in the chat room saying Shuey's just having fun now.
Yeah,
he is. He's enjoying himself.
Yeah, if he gets the odd win here and there or a podium, great.
He was
Mr.
sure
Woods has got a big smile
today.
On his face. Has he got a race comment about Raikkonen?
Raikkonen's class. Did anyone notice that the stands were half empty? And there was a whole section of the
stands. Well, there was one that was always the whole empty, yeah.
Yeah, there was.
They had it covered in a red banner, didn't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
Chardin or something, isn't it? Is that the name of the racetrack? Because I remember in times gone by, it used to just say China on it.
No, it's just Shanghai International Circuit.
Hmm. I saw Jardin. I wonder if they're a sponsor company or something, or a local business. But I don't know. They probably built it optimistically in the hopes that they'd get the mini spectators for the F1. Bernie. Oh, yeah, it's great. Yeah, you'll get tens of thousands of people. You've got 24 million people in your city. You're bound to fill these stands. No.
Are you suggesting they made it out of cardboard? They've just made it look like it's an actual stand.
I'm suggesting they might have been sold at the river slightly on the premise by Mr. Eccleston.
The UBS sign on it weighs more than the entire stand.
It's a strange contraption. It's like a massive wing. It's quite something.
Yeah, well, it's like a hangary type thing, isn't it?
Oh.
I like it. It's a cool circuit. I really like China, yeah. I think it's really good.
I'm surprised they didn't just ship people in to stand there and wave their arms and look enthusiastic about China.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Korea.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Okay. North Korea, man. Yep.
Yeah. Well,
there's a bit more free choice now.
Yeah, it's a bit later in the season.
Super Chicken in the chat room says, couldn't they add a crowd digitally? Absolutely.
it's all Forrest Gump style.
If we can get blue people on the planet making dances with wolves, then I think we could probably manage that one.
I know why.
The race.
They're too busy making iPad freeze.
They're all working at Foxconn. They couldn't come out that weekend. Yeah. iPhone 5, that's what they were making. They're making iPhone 5s and iReaders for July, and I'm going to get 20 quid off you, Mr. Neighbour. The race, then. So any real highlights of the race for you? Anything that you really enjoyed in the first sort of third?
Some of the starts were fantastic. Like, you know, I mean, Button even had to be told on the radio, didn't he? Oh, that was a great start. You know, his pit crew was straight there telling him that. Even the Mercedes, no one was expecting them to start well, and they pulled it away, didn't they?
Are you thinking, though, that maybe since he lost Nicole last year and now he's got her back, they're kind of making sure that they big him up in case he has a little bit of a cob on or something? Throws a strop.
Well, Button's got Nicole back. Are you saying there's a love triangle going on in the McLaren garage?
No, I thought you were talking about Hamilton.
No, I said Button.
Let's just start that rumour then. Button's dating Nicole. That's far more fun.
No, he's not, is he?
I'm just joking.
Jesse.
It's what? Sorry, Sarah.
Are you implying there's just a little dish in
Jesse, isn't he?
No.
Mr. Rankin, are you implying there's a little dish in the corner of the McLaren garage and the drivers put their car keys in when they go in on Friday morning? Careful. That's libelous, that is.
You heard it here first, folks.
People do say McLaren is a swinging team. Absolutely.
But did you notice between lap 24
Look, before
and
this
lap
goes
26,
any further, I thought that he said Hamilton, all right?
Did you notice something amazing happened between lap 24 and 26?
What happened between lap 24 and 26, please, Steve?
Hamilton and Massa managed to not crash into each other.
Good grief.
They were in the same track next to each other on positions, and they did not hit.
Wow.
I think Hamilton's relationship must be going quite well at the moment. I think
Do you think they've been before
and,
the headmaster?
Him and Button's wife must be getting on quite well.
Do you think him and Massa have been pulled to one side by the powers that be and told to make sure they behave, otherwise they'll be in detention?
I think the opposite. I think Bernie quite likes them when they get together. This is Hamilton and Massa,
anyway,
Button
told.
And his wife.
Go on, Sarah. Tone. See, I get confused easy.
Yes, you do. But isn't that what happened last year anyway? They were brought up in front of the headmaster so many times, and now they're finally learning from it this year.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I've got to agree with Sarah. I thought the middle section of the race was kind of a little bit like it had gone to sleep, although you'd got them all... there was not a lot of overtaking, was there, in the sort of middle third of the race? It went very static. But then the last third of the race, that's when it all just came to life, because you got Rosberg was out in front on his two-stop strategy. You know, unless he was going to absolutely stuff it in the wall somewhere, he was going to walk away with first. And they kept cutting back to him for some reason, which I couldn't work out. And they should have just focused on that from 2 to 10, because that they were bunched, and they were bunched for 20 laps-ish, no? Well, that was fantastic.
It was kind of reminded me of when, you know, in the days when Trulli used to race, and you'd have a line of cars behind him because he was being slow and they're all bunching up. It was kind of like Massa was ahead of that. But
I missed the Trulli train.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, I thought, what name can we come up with it for it with Massa rather than Trulli? You know.
It's a shame Massa doesn't line with Congo or something like that.
Yeah.
The Massa Congo
Well, that's a competition, then. Best person to submit the best name for Massa's Q, Winter Prize.
Yeah.
We'll give you a copy of Camtasia. There we go. First person to come up with a decent payoff line for Massa's Congo line, but something that's a bit more illiterate than alliterate, that is, not illiterate, then that'd be great. We'll have it. The Massa Mess. That's the first entry from Pete in the chat room. That's got a good start, actually. The bench is on.
Yeah.
Sarah, you made a lot of notes, particularly through, because you very kindly sent me yours because I hadn't had time last night. From lap 43 through 56, you'd made a ton of notes here about all the ups and downs that were going on.
Yeah, I always do.
I don't actually understand them.
Yeah, well, this is why there's very often mistakes, because I'm typing and looking at the screen. I did try to sort of keep an eye on what was going there. There was, particularly in the last 5-10 laps, there was quite a lot going on. And, it was very exciting. Obviously, we got Raikkonen falling back and Hamilton coming up and Jensen coming up as well and Vettel falling back and then Webber overtaking him on the last lap, which was rather sweet. It's very nice.
It seemed that several drivers had key turning points for them. Obviously, Schumacher with the wheel nut, and then he went off when he clearly could have placed very, very well, if not challenged for the lead. Yeah, I think he would have been. He may have even been pushing for first along with Rosberg, and they'd have been fighting with each other. But Buttons was clearly the wheel nut again.
Some wheel misfortune.
Ooh. Thank you very much.
Here always, ladies and gents.
That was a weird one because there was three different people affected by that sort of similar pit problem in this race, and it was all in the same phase of pit stops as well, really, wasn't it?
So who was the other one?
It was one of the caterers, Kovalainen, I think.
Okay.
Does McLaren have the retain nut in the wheel, or is it separated?
They all retain nuts. The wheel now, don't they? I assume so. Mm. I mean. It's an idea that seems to work because there's less work for them mechanic to actually put the nut back on before he tightens it up, or even actually have it in the gun. So it makes sense for it to do it, and also it's safer as well.
Agreed, absolutely. But I'll gladly stand corrected. But my understanding is that they're not all retained nuts.
Okay, I mean I don't know, but I would assume it's One of the teams do it, think that's a great idea, and it really works, and then the rest of them follow, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know the Mercedes use the version they devised for DTM, which is which Kravitz called the nut and wheel solution, where it was a problem with the nut that got stuck. I think McLaren might have been a gun problem because the guy had to go for the other gun.
Oh. Yeah, he'd only got it partially on, hadn't he? And he had to go through the gun because the pneumatics ran out.
Mm. But at least Button didn't just set off like he did in a certain race last year.
I heard a description of why that happened, that he didn't set off. In that, I think the system now is that the system detects when the gun has correctly done the attachment and the or unattachment and then the reattachment. And until the system detects that the gun has done the reattachment, it won't let the guy go.
Which had a fault in the Mercedes system. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why.
Sorry, sir.
From what they said, the idea of that was to shave a few more tenths of seconds off because you're not waiting for the mechanic to actually hold his hand up to say he's done. And the lollipop man to actually see all four of them do that before he releases the car, because then it's all automatic, isn't it?
Super Chicken in the chat room has said, based on the fact that he's still driving for Ferrari, is Massa a retained nut? That's pretty good. I like that one.
Yeah.
Pete's going to get a copy of it.
At least he got some points this time.
He did. Well done,
yeah.
Felipe. Right then, magic moment. Let's start off in the order that we came in. Sorry?
You got my notes. Please don't copy mine.
I absolutely wouldn't. Steve, start us off, mate. Magic moment.
Other than seeing Vettel lose,
that's a given.
My magic moment was on lap 33. Have you got that one, Sarah? Is that one okay? Lap 33?
I've got Grosjean pitting on the second.
My favourite quote was to Button on the radio saying, "We're going to win, target plus three." And I quite like the phrase, target plus three. I've no idea what it means, but I quite like the technical talk and how they communicate. So that was my favourite
like
moment.
Cool
and
sign.
I tried to go for something that anyone else might not have picked.
That would imply that they thought he wasn't going to be your target couldn't have been any higher than fourth.
Well, I thought it might be his when he was coming into pit.
I was wondering whether it was the times he was doing.
As in plus target plus three in terms of lap that they were coming into pit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant, Steve?
Yeah, that's what I thought it might have been, possibly, because we know that they have to adjust the engine during the race, and in the game, you have to constantly adjust your fuel mix through the race by changing your engine mode. So it could have been that they were effectively saying, with your current engine mode, you've got three laps in hand, so you can turn the engine up.
Okay.
Ah, I see, yeah.
Although I am not possibly a McLaren pit wall expert, so.
No, it sounds good. Sounds as good as target plus three.
It could have just as easily been positioned, though.
Wasn't Target plus three a 1960s jazz
third,
band?
Didn't he? So his Target wouldn't have been third plus three, because that would be minus one.
We're definitely in danger of looking incompetent here. Steady on.
Yes.
In danger of what?
I enjoy the technical bits on the, or the strategy bits on the conversation anyway. That was my magic moment.
Yeah,
it's good. No, I like it. I like it. Good pick, mate. It provoked a conversation as well, so it can't be bad.
Has anyone listened to the Pit Channel yet on Sky Sports F1? I've not actually, shock, shock, horror, watched a race live yet. I've Sky Plus'd it, so I've not had a chance to use the interactive. But Kravitz always refers to it and says that it's full of useful stuff.
Okay. I'll try that next time. Just this Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I think you get all of the, well, much more of the chatter from the radios. So I'm going to have to try that for the more sociable race.
I should give it a go. Excellent pick. Sarah, what was your magic moment then?
Obviously, in the last third of the race, there was a lot of overtaking going on. And I think it was a brilliant advert for F1 in terms of reminding me of watching Formula Ford races from years ago. But there was one particular battle when the commentator, Ben Edwards, was getting a bit too excited, and I think it was quite justified. But there was a bit where Grosjean ran wide on lap 45 and then ended up in a battle with Maldonado and Perez. And they were literally, the three of them, were nip and tuck all the way round. And that, I think, was the best moment of all the overtaking in the last third of the race.
Yeah, I actually noted that one down as one of mine as well.
Well, you'll have to pick something else now, won't you?
Yeah.
Sorry, Tony.
What's yours, Tone?
Well, Webber going flying, but generally last, you know, anything that happened in that sort of second to 12th, you know, there was lots of overtaking there. It was great battling. It was all very, very close. You know, DRS was used, but not, it didn't produce too much overtaking. You know, there was just a nice amount. It didn't look, never looked too easy for anybody.
Good. And Chris, what was yours?
My magic moment was lap 38, where we received our first lesson from Webber's School of Aerobatics. And after practicing my own vehicle on the way home today, I'm prepared for lesson two, which will hopefully come next week.
Shouldn't
steering and landing.
Shouldn't that have been lesson two? Lesson one was when he flipped it back over completely.
Oh, but this is the first lesson I paid for, so I'm counting this as lesson one.
Oh, okay.
Because you've got Sky, yeah, it's very good.
What he needs now is flight goggles for that, isn't he?
I've been waiting for the Photoshops, but none have arrived. I'm going to have to do some myself. Just a little aviator's scarf coming out the side of the cockpit.
You just see him flying along with a set of flying helmet goggles on and...
Was it a Toro Rosso last year?
And a white billowing scarf behind him.
I'm sure. I'm actually surprised I haven't seen that on an unlapped design yet.
I'm going to jump in with a second magic moment. Was when everyone was trying to interview Webber afterwards, and trying to.
What, are we all frozen?
Oh, no, I'm all right. Oh, I thought Tony froze.
Do you want to finish your sentence, Steve, then?
He's finally had that stroke he was threatening.
when everyone was trying to interview Webber afterwards and they were just trying to get him to say how great it was to overtake Vettel, it must be amazing. They all wanted him to say, yeah, it was great. I kicked his ass on that one. And he just was so professional and so, he just wasn't going anywhere near it. He did a perfect answer. He really managed that well. Even though I really wanted him to say, yeah, I kicked Vettel's ass.
I think Webber's really good. I mean, he whenever anyone walks up to him, Brundle walked up to him in the pit lane. Can we have a chat, Martin? Can we have a chat? And he said, yeah, no problem at all. And he instantly went in and came out with some really good stuff. You know, he strings a sentence together well as. So I like Webber. He's what you should be like. It's entertainment. He should be interviewed the way that Webber does it. There you go. My magic moment was watching Rosberg getting weighed on the scales with 3 minutes of practice left, or 3 minutes of qualifying left.
Oh, yeah, that's confidence.
I thought that was just absolutely peachy. You go for the top 10 shootout, he gets in the car, he burns straight out, three laps, chung, 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 back in, parks the car up, tosses the keys to the valet and says, no, I'm going off for a wee. Make us a cocoa, will you? And while everyone else is blistering round and desperately trying to get under the gun for the top 10 shootout, he stood on the scales going, no, done deal, fellas. I thought that was magic. Deserved every bit of it. Yeah. Well done.
He was my driver of the day. It's difficult not to have him as driver of the day, I think.
Excellent. Steve, you've come up with a great request, and I think this would be really good to hear from other people. Is there anyone that can recommend a foreign TV channel that shows the F1 that we could watch to see if it's any better? It might be in a different language, so we might not get it all. It might be a th-th-th-th-th. But we'll give it a go. Now, I know that the TV pictures that we get are consistent. So as Sarah said the other week, when the F1 logo swipes across, that's it. The whole world gets exactly the same pictures. But, of course, the commentary is different, and also the pre-shows are different. So if there's anything that we can watch, send it in to us, and we'll show it, and we'll say this is your national coverage of F1, and we'll see if it's any good. Particularly, I think, the American coverage, if there is any, would be quite interesting to watch.
I can kind of half answer this.
Oh, go on.
Here we are, factoids, and it's courtesy of Wikipedia, thank you. If you go to the article called List of Formula One Broadcasters, and if you scroll down, it's been updated for 2012. And if you live in one of, over three dozen countries, then you've got a grid. It's great. And it shows you format it's in, what you get, what extras you get or don't get, whether it's an HD or not, whether you get practice, qualifying, race, and all the bits and pieces and how you can pick it up, which satellite it's from, if it's on satellite. It's great.
Does it show which ones on their websites broadcast their live feed?
Usually going to be in the notes, if there are any notes of note. But when guy Anders Breivik was going around being a crazy guy, and all the Norwegian TV channels, for example, don't seem to have any geo restriction on them. So chances are that many of these TV channels just don't, because they don't think there's any reason for it. So if they suddenly find UK IP addresses streaming, then Greece probably can't afford the GIP.
Abidjan, I can't say it.
Azerbaijan?
Azerbaijan.
That one, yeah.
Do Azerbaijan stream
it? I haven't done a drink today. I can't say it. That one's free.
I should have sent you some room service, mate.
When I was a penniless student, I used to watch Star Sports Asia, and as long as you don't mind having whiskey ads every 5 minutes, the coverage was quite good, because they had American and British ex-commentators, and they just paid them loads of money, and they moved to Asia, and the coverage was not bad.
When I was in Spain watching it, the main coverage went up to the top left of the screen, and the advert appeared on the bottom right of the screen.
Which is what I wish they would do here. Such a good idea.
Yeah.
Well, no, because we get we get uninterrupted coverage on both channels. Don't give them ideas, dude. There's no interruptions in F1 on Sky.
Ads for free practice. It infuriates me that they go to adverts for free practice. Mm. So much so that I wrote them an angry letter.
Oh dear, did you know why?
Nine channels in Croatia that show it.
You know why there's uninterrupted coverage on the commercial stations in the UK, don't you?
No, I don't.
Well, do you remember the debacle a few years ago on ITV? It was towards the end of their time when they went to an ad break three laps from the end of a race. And there was outrage.
But you're talking ITV. They went to an ad break for the goal in the World Cup, didn't they? Or was it in football?
But there was such an outrage about that, and I think it was in the last year when they had the rights, and
ITV.
And they cut off Adele speech.
In a speech.
Worst of all, they cut off Adele. Well,
we're talking about F1 here, but I can't remember which
still
race
in black
it was,
and white.
There was such an outcry about it because something happened in that three laps from the end of the race or something, whatever it was. That's then they stopped doing it completely after that.
I think the checkered flag fell whilst the ad break was on, which is just terrible.
So it was something like the most important part of the race happened or something. So the most significant incident in the race happened while they were in ad break.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, ITV cock up daytime television. So if you can't keep a daytime television string running, you know you're bad. Yeah, this podcast and all the others that we do in black and white would not be possible without bandwidth. And the bandwidth for ours is provided by UK2.net. They are super fantastic. Now, the other thing is, everybody, we have a Formula One team which follows the F1 show.
Oh, wow.
It's the Marussia team. Hey. Did you know that? And the reason the Marussia team follow us is because they are sponsored by UK2.net. So there you go.
Hooray!
We've got a team to plump for this year. The Marussia team are now the official supported team of the British Tech Network. They are the people who are going to keep our interest. And I think we're not going to see them on the podium, but I want to cheer them on. So we will be the official channel of the Marussia team. If they want to come on the show and they want to appreciate the support that we're giving them, which they clearly need, then they are more than welcome. Show your support by tweeting out British Tech Network, hashtag Marussia Team F1 and UK2.net, and we'll have them on. UK2 are a great firm. They do a lot of sponsorship for us and a lot of support for us. They pick up all our bandwidth, and there's loads of offers available to you at the moment. They're still running the Site Builder competition, so you can go and vote on other people's Site Builder sites, and you might win an iPad 3, the iPad. You've also got the offer codes BagelTech, which will get you 15% off anything that UK2.net do. And also you've got the offer code BagelDNS, which will get rid of your DNS management charge if you transfer a domain in. Please support them. They support us. We'd be lost without them. Lots of you are supporting them. They sell an awful lot of stuff from British Tech listeners. So please use the click through on our website. Please use the offer codes. Don't get to the end and forget to use the offer codes or think, I don't need the discount, I'll just do the right thing, because the offer code lets them know that we sent you, effectively. UKT.net, thanks very much for their support. We love them to bits.
If we're now associated with the Marussia team, does that mean we now have a cool pick on the show?
We can have a cool pick. Go on then, what's your cool thing, Tony?
You've got a cool pick.
Oh, right. Very good. Very good.
Oh, he is cool, though.
We need to see him a bit more on the in the start line, but we'll. Right, so Tone, where can we get hold of you, mate?
Whenever my connection's working, it's at tone_720 on Twitter.
I don't think anyone's connection's working tonight. Maybe it's Joe that's the root of the problem. We'll have to say.
It's all too much for Ewan.
Thank you, mate. Steve, where can we get you? Steve, where can we get a hold of you?
London Mac User Group or Clofed HQ on Twitter.
Jolly good. Sarah, where are you?
You can get a hold of me on the Twitters at Sarah Jane UK.
Joe peeked in there. And Christopher, where can we get you, man?
No, you can find me on Twitter at Christopher W. But at the moment, you can find me on the Marussia F1team.com website, looking at pictures. It's a very pretty website.
It is. I like the car. It's red in it. It's nice. Good colour. I think we're probably going to do it Monday night again. So I'll be at home, though, so that'll be great. I've got the whole week at home in bed. and we'll be back talking about that. Got a bit of a break, like I say. Check the news. There you go. We'll see you again. Take care. Thanks for listening.